to the Hebrews chapter 11 has some wonderful lessons that we might dwell on for a little while here. I'd like to start in the 10th chapter. Before we get into the 11th chapter, tenth chapter and the 34th verse. Start at the 34th verse. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, or the loss of your goods, as people have suffered things like that because of their faith. Loss of worldly and earthly goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. This is quoting from Habakkuk, the second chapter. And it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. Think about what is the meaning of faith, the definition of faith. Confidence, assurance, and persuasion. Persuasion, something you are persuaded about. You are persuaded that there is a God. There is an Almighty God. You believe that there is an Almighty God that created the world and everything in the world. Do you believe that? How many actually believe that without a doubt? Well, thank the Lord. That's a good beginning. Because we know, and when you look at this, the moon, and the changes of the moon, it didn't just happen to be. It was created and put in orbit and put in that function by an almighty, wonderful God. How about the sun? Did it just happen to be? No, it was an almighty God who created the sun and put it in its function, rising and falling and having the earth to be turning. And oh my, it's just wonderful. That just makes you know that there is a true God, and now we want to seek for Him, reach after Him, feel after Him, as it says in Acts 17, and the Apostle Paul's message in Athens in Greece. It says, God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the whole earth, and have determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's God. He created everything. That men should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. You exist because there is a God. And Psalms 139 brings out, says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knew all about us before we were conceived in the womb. God created every one of you. He created me. He knew what I was going to be before I started my being formed. Oh, I believe in a God. I'm so glad I believe in a living, wonderful, almighty, gracious, kind, loving Heavenly Father. Yes. The just shall live by faith. That's one of the basis parts of our confidence is beholding the creation. In Psalm 19 it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day, or day after day, it utters speech, and night after night it shows knowledge." What does it show? What does it speak? It speaks about the true and living God. Do you ever like to go out and look and see the stars? They say that some of those stars are just not miles away, but light years away. And yet God created and put them there. Yes, thank the Lord. Day unto day, other speech, night unto night, so it knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. You ever like to watch the sun come up? I love to. I love to look at the sun. I love to. You can't hardly really look at it really, you know, face to face because it's so bright. But you just look at it anyway and think, that wonderful sun. Where did it come from? Did it just happen to be? If I hit that jar and knock it off on the floor, would that just happen to be? No, I did it. I might have accidentally done it, but I did it. There's nothing just happens to be. It's all created by a wonderful, wise, loving, and gracious God. And then it goes on into, let's see that last verse. We are not of them who draw back into perdition. Notice it's that scripture from Habakkuk 2. It says, the soul of man is lifted up when it's lifted up in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's the way that kind of puts it back there. And this is a quotation in the Greek translation of that. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or to be lost, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then it goes on and said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, or the ground, substance or basis of things hoped for and the evidence or the confidence or persuasion of things not seen. You know, I thank the Lord that I had a godly mother that believed in God, and she had godly parents that believed in God. I never got to know my grandparents. Her father died in 1933, and her mother died in 1929, so that's before my time. But what I've known about them, they were godly, praying, faithful people. And my mother was that. My mother had 7 children, 5 sons and 2 daughters. And I was the middle child. And she taught me about God. And she took me to Sunday school. I had Sunday school teachers that taught me about God. I remember my first Sunday school teacher was a little woman, a sister, by the name of Ozell Wyatt. She lived here in Guthrie. And she taught us children in the card class. I remember the cards we had. Y'all remember those cards you had? Anyway, she was a wonderful Sunday school teacher. She would teach us about Jesus, and she would almost cry and weep. It touched my heart. It helped me to have a persuasion that there is a God. And then my next Sunday school teacher was a dear sister by the name of... I'm getting old. Names somehow I just can't get them sometimes. Anyway, Sister Dilly, Emma Dilly, that's her. She was my, as a young boy, 10 and 12 years old, she was my son, and she was a wonderful saint. And then on up, and I had pastors, godly pastor, Brother Fred Pruitt, Brother O.C. Porter. In other words, I went to Sunday school and church services on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I grew up going to that. And then in Monarch in 1950, my mother wanted to go to Monarch Springs camp meeting. So they put a great big box in the back of our pickup and with curtains and quilts and things. And we started out early in the morning from Monarch. And my two younger brothers and I rode in that box in the back of the pickup. And Mother drove with my sister and my cousin, Bertha Eck. She later became Aunt Mile. Anyway, we went to Monarch Springs. And I remember the influence of that meeting in my heart and mind. And I'm thankful that I was privileged to be there. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The ancients were attested. This is the way the Greek text says. The ancients, or the people of way back years ago, were attested, proven, and showed that they had faith in God. And she's going to have some of them here now. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God, framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything is made out of unseen things. It is spoken to existence. All the substance of creation, the wood, the trees, the ground, the grass, the leaves, the trees, everything. God spoke them into existence. You believe that?
Yeah.
You believe in the creation? You believe that things just happened to be? They got all kinds of ideas people, mankind has about how things got started. But the Bible is what is true. God created it all. He fashioned it. He designed it. He planned it in His mind and spoke it forth. Let there be fruit trees. Aren't you glad for the apples and oranges and pears and peaches and plums and grapefruits and all? Aren't you glad for that? Where'd they come from? There's an almighty God that designed them and spoke them forth. Carrots and potatoes and okra and spinach and all that. Isn't that good stuff, Brother Gordon? God created it. He spoke it forth. Oh, I thank the Lord for a wonderful creator. He is a great creator. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things that were seen were not made of things that do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. That's Abel. He was the first one that manifested as this in this account of faith. Abel believed God and wanted to please God. And so he offered a sacrifice to God of a lamb and the fat thereof, and he had the very best of his flock. And he offered that as a sacrifice. And God was pleased. God made known, God made a witness that he was pleased and blessed Abel. And here come his brother Cain. He just got some fruit that he had grown in the ground. He offered that to God. God wasn't pleased with that because his heart wasn't right. He wasn't sincere. He's just going through a form. And then whenever he saw that Abel was blessed and acknowledged and pleasing to God, it made him jealous and mad, and he ended up killing his brother. And then God had to deal with him. But Abel had faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by reason of which he is Cain, witnessed that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. God told Cain, it says, the voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. It was his faith that did that. Do you want to have faith? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was pleasing in the sight of God. And God took him. He didn't die. One of the accounts that I have read, I don't remember this where this was, but it was some people that they tried to find Enoch. They couldn't find him. He couldn't be found because God translated and took him on to heaven. He lived 365 years. Most everybody else then was in this world for 800 or 900 years. But Enoch lived 365 years, then God took him. You believe that? I believe it. I believe Enoch is still in heaven's wherever he is. I don't know how it is, but I believe he's still there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah had faith and confidence in God. God was pleased with Noah. While the whole world, it seems, was gone astray and gone after lust and wealth and all the physical earthly things, Noah had faith in God and he was well pleasing. And so God told Noah, he said, I want you to build an ark. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God told Noah that he was going to destroy the world. And he's going to destroy all humanity. And he wanted him to build an ark to save his house. Noah had three sons. And they had all had wives. And Noah had a wife. So that makes eight people. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, how about that ark? You know how big it was? Three hundred feet long. 90 feet wide, 30 feet high, something like that. Great big ark. God told Noah to build it, build rooms in it. He fashioned and built it. He built that ark with the help, I'm sure he had the help of his sons. And while it was going on, he witnessed to the world. The Bible says that he was a witness. He witnessed to people that they were going to face the end, and God's going to destroy the world. Nobody listened, nobody believed but him and his wife and their three sons and their wives. So we have a witness there and an example of a man that believed and had faith. Isn't that a good example? It took several years to build that ark. I don't know just how long, but it took a good while to build that ark. And he kept working at it because he believed what God said, that there had never been any rain on the earth. It just a mist that come up from the ground. It didn't have rain. And God said, I'm going to send rain. Well, Noah believed God, and he began to prepare for it. So that's an example of faith. That was his personal faith. He believed God, and they worked at it. His sons believed in it. His wife and their wives, they all worked together. And when it came time for them to get in the ark, God helped somehow to get the animals all in. I don't know how, but God had all that planned. Yeah, he knew how to do it. All the animals, they all got in that ark, and God shut him in. And then the rain started falling. So that's another example of faith, see? All right, verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Oh, here's the great, wonderful man of faith. I love to study about Abraham and see his faith, his obedience. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. God told him, says, take you, get out of this country. He's down in Ur of the Chaldees. God says, you leave and go to a land that I will show you. Didn't tell him where he's going. Just get up and start moving. How would you like to make a move like that? Start moving and not know where you're going. Would you be willing to do it if God showed you? Well, it's awful quiet in here, isn't it? Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, dwelling in tents. That's what he lived in. And he dwelled in the land of promise. He came into the land of Canaan. And God said, this is the land. I'm going to give you this land. But he didn't ever get to possess it. He lived in tabernacles, tents, moved about. He was a sojourner in the land of promise. He never got to possess it. But he's got it now. He's got something wonderful now. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. They all dwelled in tents too. The heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, he was looking for something beyond this present life. And that's what we as the saints of God, we are looking for something beyond this fleeting mortal life. You've got to get your mind and your thoughts and your desires and your appetites and your pleasures on something beyond this old physical earthly realm. That's what Abraham did. He had his affections on things beyond. By faith, Verse 11, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, whenever the thought first was presented to Sarah that she would have a child, she laughed. It was that God came down with two angels to visit Abraham, and while they were sitting out there outside the tent, God said, where is Sarah, your wife? And Abraham said, well, she's in the tent. Well, it says she's going to have a child. She's going to conceive and have a child. Well, you know how old was she? She was 90 years old. That's past childbearing stage. Abraham was 100. He was past about childbearing a producing stage. And Sarah laughed, and the Lord said, why did you laugh? Oh, Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Oh, he said, you did laugh. Said, is there anything too hard for God? And I like to think like this. And the Bible don't tell it, but you know, as a husband and wife, they talk things over. And I can just hear in my mind later Sarah and Abraham talking together. But Abraham, I'm too old to have a child. Yes, but didn't the Lord God, wasn't that God out there? Did he say you're going to have a child? Well, yes. Is there anything too hard for God, Sarah? He can, even though you're past childbearing stage, and even though you're too old to have a child, he can still help you have a child, can't he? Well, no, I'm sure he could. Well, let's have faith. Let's believe. Let's trust. I will, Abraham. I will do my best to trust and believe God. You reckon they had any kind of conversation like that? Anyway, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So you see, Abraham, he had those times of faith. And I want to notice what Hebrews 11 says a little more about all this. You get to reading about there sprang there even of one him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. And it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That makes me know there's a string of people from Abraham on down through the years of time that believed and died and never saw the fulfillment of their faith. And then we have in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now here's Abraham being put to the test. Isaac was born, Sarah brought forth a son and called him Isaac. And then Josephus brings it out, the Jewish historian that tells a lot about things. He said that Isaac was about 25 years old when God told Abraham to go and offer him up as a sacrifice in the land of Moriah on one of the mountains. And they had about a 2 or 3 day journey to go to get there. And so Isaac was gotten ready. Abraham got Isaac and got a couple of young men with a donkey and some wood and fire, and they started out. And God told him, says, I want you to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham was going to do it. Well, this is my beloved son. This is the son you gave me. He could have reasoned, but I believe Abraham just believed God and just went, come on, Isaac, we've got to make a little journey. We're going to go offer a sacrifice in the land of Moriah. And so on the way, or while they was traveling, sometime on the way, Isaac asked Abraham and said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb for the offering? What did Abraham say? God will provide his own lamb. He'll provide a sacrifice. And so they went on. But as they when they got up there to the place, they built the altar. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, you know there had to be some kind of conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But the Jewish historian, Josephus, says that Abraham, when they got up there and they built the altar, that Abraham told Isaac, said, Isaac, I prayed many prayers for you. I prayed for you, I wanted you, and God gave you to me. But now God has told me to offer you up as a burnt offering on this altar. And I want you to go ahead and be submissive and let this be, because this is what God said. God's going to take care of it. We want to obey God. And Josephus says that Isaac humbled himself and submitted himself to his father and says, Father, you do go ahead and do that. We'll just put it in God's hands. And so Abraham took Isaac, tied him up, put the wood in order, got the fire ready, put Isaac up on the altar, took the knife to kill his son. When you make a burnt offering, you kill the offering, you kill the lamb or whatever it is, and pour out its blood. And Abraham, he just got Isaac up there, took the knife. He was getting ready to bring it down to slay Isaac. When, what happened? You ever read it in the 22nd chapter of Genesis? Abraham, Abraham! Here I am. Don't you touch that lad. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your only son. Wasn't that wonderful? I could just see him getting Isaac down off of that altar and untying him. And he looked around, and there was a ram caught by his horns in a bush back behind him. He got that ram and put it up and offered up him instead of his son. See, that was Abraham's obedience to the will of God. And back there in the 22nd chapter, it says God said, because you have obeyed my voice, and I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is by the seashore. In other words, Abraham, that was the test of his faith. You and I are going to have tests of our faith too. You're going to have to prove your faith by obedience. Obedience to the will of God. Lord, help us. Well, thank you for your time. I had it on my heart, but I wanted everybody else to have freedom. And then when Sister Rosie brought out about faith, I thought, well, that's what's on for this. Bye-bye.